Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. All right, those of you that are looking for jobs, today's topic is going to be relating to how you can actually stay employed in today's economy. My guest is Nina Price, and we're going to be talking about various strategies that you can use for staying employed in an economy that for so many has caused people to find themselves without a job. Nina, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks.
You know, Nina, when I first read about you, I thought you're a licensed acupuncturist. You speak before groups. You've been involved in radio and television. You're a business and wellness coach. And you say you like to push the reset button on their lives for them, help them to know what they can do to get into something they really like. Five strategies for staying employed in today's economy. Today's economy has put people on a roller coaster in so many different levels of their lives. What prompted you to write about this? Because you've been interacting with people for a lot of years. Why did you decide to get so specific? What were the events that led up to your putting this material together?
Well, Donna, you know, last year I was really concerned because I serve a population that's largely over 40 years old, and I do business and wellness coaching, so I'm often talking to them about their careers. I'm also talking about their stress and their health, and I just was seeing too many of my clients laid off, and I was concerned because it almost seemed like companies were targeting people over 40. Like, it was almost deliberate. It was almost like this evil game of musical chairs where people didn't want you to retire on their dime, so they wanted to be sure you were gone before you were even close to retirement age. And there seems to be this notion that as you get older, you become expensive, and it's cheaper to hire more younger rather than really take good care of your older employees.
Well, I'll tell you, I've known of a number of cases where people, when they're getting close to retirement, and this is all across the board in various industries, I don't think that companies that are really ethical have that attitude because they realize the value of the mature worker. But so many different aspects of the economy have been affected, and like you said, those that are up at the upper level, I think of one man that I know of who was actually in an educational system, and he was 1 year away from retirement, and bingo, he was gone. Mm-hmm. And there was no one that they had to replace him. And they said, well, we'll just get rid of, this was within the educational system, we'll just get rid of the whole department. Yet they had invested millions in the development and the equipment that they had brought into this department. So they'd gotten a new board and all kinds of things. And that often is what happens. And people don't look at long-term planning. So here we are, so many people of all ages have been laid off, but you really are addressing in this book people that are over 40, but there's a lot of young people that are in their 30s, late 30s, they're very close to that 40 margin. They're seeing things happening. The supposed job security isn't there. And you talk about no one's paying attention to a major workforce crisis. How do you perceive the crisis?
Well, I see the crisis as a lot of jobs are going overseas. And I know that's being done to save money. But I don't think that necessarily we are seeing the quality of work. So we're saving money. But what's the point? Why save money if you're not going to get quality? So that's one thing that's going on. I would say that there are several trends in the marketplace. the concept of lifetime employment. I mean, that's positively 20th century. Might
mm-hmm.
have been fine for our parents' generation who came of age after the Second World War, but for those of us in the generation that came after them, it was certainly not the norm. People have had more than one career and worked for more than one employer, and the people who have worked for one employer, those folks are really getting hit hard. They might have worked for somebody, you know, 25, 30 years, and now the thank you they're getting is you know, a pink slip. Not too good. Layoffs are becoming commonplace. Unemployment is at an all-time high in all age groups.
Mm-hmm.
But the impact for older workers, I think, is different, because they're at a place in their life where they do have significant financial responsibility. People have kids in college. People have elderly parents that they take care of. People have mortgages that perhaps they haven't finished paying off. They have lots of financial demands, and their bodies are kind of at a turning point, too, in middle age. Their bodies are changing. Maybe they don't sleep as well. Maybe they don't have as much energy. Maybe they're starting to develop chronic illness. Maybe their blood tests are showing up a little with some new information that's not so positive. Maybe they have an extra 20 pounds around their middle that they could profitably get rid of. All of
mm-hmm.
these things are contributing to them perhaps being a little slower than the rest of the herd at work. And employers are just saying, well, we'll just get rid of these people because, you know, we want young, vibrant, hardworking people, and these guys are just not as motivated. And, oh, by the way, they cost too much. And, you know, their health isn't so good anymore, and so they're costing us in healthcare dollars, too. So I saw that as being a huge problem and one that really made me concerned. People would lose their jobs, and getting rehired was the real problem.
Mm-hmm.
I was seeing people where it was taking years to get another job. And the people who weren't getting let go, they were showing up in my office every time their employer announced a layoff. They couldn't sleep, and they were in severe anxiety and having all kinds of symptoms that I was helping them with. And this was really making me very concerned. So that's really why I wrote the book.
You have a comment in your book. You said it came from one of your favorite professors in business school, Alan Merton. He said, "The truly successful person is the one with the most good options at any point in time." And I can recall that being said many, many years ago to me by a peer that said, we always have to be prepared, regardless of who we are, that things can happen. And they do happen. Life happens. There are no guarantees. And I think the myth of absolute job security that the unions tried to promote in so many different organizations that, oh, this absolutely should be guaranteed, is really a lie, because the world always has embraced a competitive environment, whether it's this country, the U.S., or it's France, England, Africa, it doesn't make any difference. Today's world, though, the change is happening so fast. Technology is evolving so fast that even the people integrated into these industries, they could be 19 or 20, and they're having a tough time keeping up themselves. So we have this surge, and I look at it in many ways for an older individual as a positive, because there is going to be such a dearth of wisdom and experience that can be utilized that many, many employee opportunities, people looking for something, say, we just can't find anybody to come to work for us. And we're having a terrible, terrible time. So we've got all of these variables that are going on. And I think your book gives some very, very good information to those that still are sort of like the typical ostrich syndrome, keeping their heads in the sand and thinking that they don't have to move along with the changes. Well, I don't care what your age is. These changes are happening, and it pays to get on board, but that doesn't mean that you're not valued and you can't be valued. It's really important. Let's talk about, you mentioned a couple of points about trends that you feel corporate leaders are ignoring. Let's mention a couple of others that other than the ones that we've just talked about that you think the corporate structure needs to wake up and pay attention to?
Well, we talked a little bit about the trend one, the effect of the economy, basically that the jobs are moving offshore and the layoffs and people are having trouble getting laid off, rehired, or their careers are stalling. But the impact of the baby boomer generation, there's over 76 million people in the United mm-hmm. States who are in the baby boomer generation. 76 million people, they're over 40 and rapidly turning 50 and 60.
Right.
And, you know, this year, the number of people in this 45 to 54 age group is going to increase by 20%, and 55 to 64 is increasing by 52%. I mean, these are big, big jumps in these populations. And it's true that these folks cost their employers a lot in benefits in addition to their salaries. But as we pointed out earlier, they do have larger financial responsibility. I think retirement, what retirement is and what retirement is becoming, is starting to change.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
I heard this term, and I actually included in the book, boomerangs. Boomerangs
mm-hmm.
are people who've actually retired, but because of the trends in the financial markets, they can't afford to be retired.
Right.
So they're re-entering the job market so they can just meet their financial obligations.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a big thing. We have a friend who went through a very, very, he's in his 50s, he's almost 60, and he basically had retired, and he had a wonderful nest egg, you know, a couple $100,000. I mean, anybody looking at him would have said, wow. Well, wow would have been appropriate. However, he ended up having a major health problem, and regrettably, he didn't have health insurance. So everything that he had saved went out of the window to pay for those health costs. And he had to go back to work. The interesting thing was is that he went back to work for a company. Young people won't work for this company because it doesn't have what they feel career jumps. And this company is, the employees are all over 50 years of age because
wow.
they're happy to be there. And this company says, we don't even bother interviewing younger people because they won't even stay. They're not interested in staying. We're not one of these Microsofts or something like this where they can work their way up to whatever. And this guy, by the grace, he's there and he is happy as he can be. And they pay him well because they need to have the consistency and the dependability of the older worker. So there are companies out there that really are looking for that. He was stunned because he thought he was going to have to go through years of trying to get work because his medical cost was so high. And I think there's a lot of Americans of all ages that are looking at the fact that maybe they've got medical bills or there's other things that have come up. Like you said, they've got families, they've got big responsibilities. These are real situations that are happening to people. Now, how can, and I really like your term, boomerangs. I really like that. You pushed your own reset button on your career.
I did.
Yeah, talk about what you did, because you had to restructure it. And that's what we want to encourage people to do, to not be afraid of shifting and changing. But how do you go about that?
Well, I don't know that my way is the way everybody wants to do it. But in the last recession, you know, the dot-com bust, I'm a Silicon Valley high-tech professional.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm an MBA by training, and I was a high-tech professional for 20 years. And in 2001, when the computer industry really tanked pretty badly, the dot-com bust, I one day asked I was pretty miserable. The company I was working for was changing. I didn't like what was going on. And I asked myself one day, you know, if you could do anything to make a living, what would you do? And the answer that came back really shocked me. It was certainly not what I was expecting. The answer that came back was, you're done. It's time to do something else.
Oh,
what? I'm done? Me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm done? I still loved what I did. I really mm-hmm. didn't think I was done. It didn't feel that way, but I knew my brain would never tell me I was done. It was time to do something else. So
mm-hmm.
I just listened to that insight. And it wasn't the easiest thing I've ever done in my life, honestly. I love technology. I loved working in the computer industry. But I also saw that, you know, some of my colleagues were starting to get sick, chronic health issues, burned out. And I had the sense that I was supposed to be helping the people who'd been my colleagues before to manage the stress of their high-stress lives better.
Mm-hmm.
So what came about was I trained to be a coach because I felt that the thing I loved the most in the corporate world was coaching the people who worked for me. And I even went to massage school because I had always wanted to do that, and I had never made time to do it. So it was like one of those things, well, I have time, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was I started really getting interested in the whole health piece. I was coaching people, and I kept seeing that under every career issue I dealt with, there was always a health issue.
Interesting.
There was always a health issue that was an underlying cause or a byproduct of the high stress that the person was under.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the tools at that time to help people with their health issues. So what showed up for me was that I needed to get trained to become a board-certified healthcare professional. So I went to acupuncture school to do that. And so I did, which was kind of a radical change of events, but I really loved what I did, and I have no regrets. I really enjoyed going back to school. I enjoyed getting the education. I enjoyed everything I learned in the process. And best of all, I like what I get to do for a living. You know, I work with the people I want to work with, people over 40. That's who I want to work with, and that's who my clients are. And I work with them on all kinds of stuff. I work with them on managing their stress. I work with them on managing their midlife body symptoms, whatever they are, whether it's menopause or whether it's hypertension or whether it's low back pain or whether it's other things. And even women who want to have their first family after 40, I've been helping people with fertility issues, so that's kind of interesting too. So that's where I play. And I also help them with their career stuff because a lot of people have had severe issues going on in their careers and have had to update their skills, have had to get new jobs, have had to reuse their skills in a different way, have had to just rethink themselves. And I think that's been very exciting. I like being a catalyst for change. I like being a change agent. That's what I liked in the corporate world, and I like doing that in my practice now. And so I really feel like having written this book, I have a lot of material that I have to offer to people who are trying to figure out what's next. I always say midlife doesn't have to be a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
What if midlife were about reinventing yourself and letting go of the old stuff that you're done with?
I like the quote that you have in one of your chapters by Bruce Barton. Most successful people have not achieved their distinction by having some new talent or opportunity presented to them. They've developed the opportunity that was at hand. And I think lots of times the changes that come into our spaces, and I've seen this with so many people through the years, and even with myself, and I love working as a counselor as you do, and I'll watch people and I'll say, look at this as an opportunity. Instead of looking at this as being a destructive component of your life, it's going to give you the leverage for you to shift into really what is going to be most meaningful for you. And they sometimes are taken aback by that kind of attitude. I like your five strategies that you emphasize in your book. One, create a lifestyle that makes you a star performer. Two, showcase your value. Three, manage others' perceptions of you. Four, reinvigorate your relationships and your network. Five, get the job skills that are worth top dollar today. And there's so much encased in those different strategies. Creating a lifestyle that makes somebody a top performer, that means you really take care of yourself. Because as you do get older, and if you have a family and you're working, you know, it's a heck of a lot different than when you were 16 years of age and had no other responsibilities other than showing up for school.
You're
I mean, this is a heavy pace. And what I'm finding with the mature individuals that have figured that, quote unquote, the retirement image just doesn't suit them anymore, they're busier than the young people that they know. The young people are saying, why don't you slow down? Because I don't have time to talk to you. They're going a mile a minute. But we have to deal with stress when we get older, and sometimes our bodies don't like to deal with it the way it did when we were younger. And we have to pay attention to wellness. And you've had coaching in that area. And I think that that's important to share with people. They need to understand their body does go through change.
You bet. You bet. And I think that people are who've been laid off, very often when I meet them right after they've been laid off, I say to them, you know, this is a great time to do all that self-improvement work on yourself that you've been putting off. This is a great time to lose that 20 pounds that's sitting on your waist, or this is a great time to start that fitness program you keep saying you're going to start. Because honestly, this is the time. It's a gift. So, okay, you've been laid off. Big deal. You know, you'll get another job. And maybe the next job you get will even be a better fit for you or better fit for who you are now. But let's turn this into a positive experience. Let's use the time to figure out, you know, what could you be doing better? How could you be happier? How can you ditch that stuff that's got you stuck? You know, maybe it's your relationships with your colleagues at work or your boss, or maybe it's relationships in your family that aren't working. Or maybe it's those friends you've outgrown. Maybe it's... Well, unfortunately, sometimes it has, you know, it means that relationships break up, but sometimes it means that people invest the time and the energy into fixing them, and isn't that a great thing to do?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where if someone can do some good vocational counseling or, you know, get a different view on yourself, because when you are a person that's had experience, you've been in a job, how many times do we hear people saying, I'm so bored with what I do, but
you
I just
bet.
Don't want, I'm so bored. Well, okay, let's try something different. But I think often we ignore that there are so many different things that have to be done in this world. And I think of one gal that I knew who was a bartender, and she said, I hate bartending. She was a superb bartender. She was one of these people, no matter what she'd ever do, she'd always be good at it. She was a wonderful bartender. She worked well with people, but where she'd been working, and she made excellent money, but she said where she was working, the management had changed, the integrity of the environment had changed, and she wasn't happy. I talked to her, and I found out she loves gardening. I said, for heaven's sakes, why don't you get a landscape license? Why don't you go out and go to school? And she said, I never even considered that. That's just something I putz around with. Well, she was naturally attuned to that. She ended up working in an environment that kept her out of doors. She was so happy. The last time I talked with her, she said, I never thought I could be so happy being dirty. She said, I just love it. I absolutely love it. She'd be physically exhausted. This was a woman that was in her 40s, but she loved the out-of-door work. She loved the people that she was with. She was involved with creative aspects. She was just blossoming. And that can happen at any age, but you have to be willing to explore.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, sometimes after a layoff, people are more willing to try something new because they realize that, well, maybe what they've been doing is they're done with it.
You have a chapter here that I think is so important. I think of a young woman that I know today. She has been trying to build a business. And I am just sort of waiting until the time is appropriate when I can pull her aside and tell her she's got to get her act together. This is a very intelligent young woman. But if she were to come in to me for an interview, just on how she looks, I wouldn't give her time.
Ah.
And you cover that.
Oh, yeah.
Managing others' perceptions of you. And so those of you listening, you need to think of this. You see so much stuff on television where people look like slobs and their hair isn't combed, they haven't really groomed well, and you say, oh, well, that's just the way the world is. Excuse me. If your fingernails are dirty, if you don't take time to keep yourself clean, if you don't take the time to dress well, and I don't care if you weigh 250 pounds or 98, how do you present yourself? Let's talk about this because it makes a difference.
This is the bad breath part of the book, but it's really, really important.
That's a good way to describe it. I like that, the bad breath part of the book. Very good description.
Well,
let's go for it.
You know, I've been a corporate manager, and I've had to deliver those messages to people about all kinds of stuff, and I do tell a story in the book about a woman who I wanted to hire, who was brilliant. I'd worked with her at another company. She was an incredibly talented person. She was taking a job that was way below what she could do, but she just wanted to take a little break and get into a new industry and a new company, and she knew me. And I was wanted to hire her in the worst way because I knew what she could do. And she got through the interview process, and my direct boss was fine with her, but my boss's boss, very talented person and a person I had a lot of respect for, kind of waffled, didn't want to sign off on the paperwork. And I was just incredulous. I couldn't figure it out. So I went back to the recruiter and I said, well, what do you think it is? And she said, well, do you think maybe it's that the woman weighs over 300 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
I said, gosh, I hope not. I think this person should be able to see beyond that. And apparently, so I sat him down and I said, hey, look, you're going to have to trust me on this. I'm really asking you to trust me because this person is so talented. I think if we passed her up, we would be doing ourselves a huge injustice. And he finally signed off. And 3 months later, he came and apologized to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he saw who she was, and she was brilliant and mm-hmm. so talented, and they still are good friends to this day. But I also tell a story about a man that I worked with, one of my clients, and he was in his early 50s. He'd been laid off recently, and he wasn't having any success getting a job. And I met him, met his wife. We sat down, we talked a bit, and I said, you know, you're not going to like what I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You need a makeover. And I know men hate the idea of a makeover. I mean, they mm-hmm. would just rather die.
Mm-hmm.
They think that is just so awful and for women and stuff. And but, you know, many men really need to update the way they look because it makes them look more attractive as a hiring candidate to many employers.
Right.
And this gentleman was incredible. He was willing to play. And I set him up with a hairdresser, an esthetician, and an image consultant.
Oh!
And we came up with a whole new, well, I was out of the picture. I referred him to people who are far better at this than I.
Mm-hmm.
I figured, you know, these are the experts. Let's go to the experts. I handpicked everybody he went to, and they took him shopping. They worked on his skin. They worked on his hair. You know, they gray reduced him a bit so he wasn't so gray looking.
Mm-hmm.
And he also decided, because I had been working with him, to do some workouts, and he lost some weight and really was more fit and feeling really good. I mean, he was just really feeling good about himself. And with these new clothes, I mean, his wife was so thrilled because he looked terrific. He really looked terrific. He looked a lot younger, and he came across as more confident. For some reason, just the whole new look was more confident.
Oh, sure.
He went out, and he had some job offers in short order, and he was pretty happy with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wasn't lacking talent. He looked like yesterday's news, and he needed mm-hmm. to look like tomorrow's news.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did, other people got it, and other people were attracted to him as a job candidate. And, you know, he had kids in college. He really couldn't afford to retire at that point in time.
Well, I think the key is, if you have someone, if you really want to be honest and you look at yourself, I am really appalled anymore at how many people will walk into an interview wearing jeans, or their self-esteem, because they really, if they are overweight, they don't understand, they still can dress attractively. You can look good in your clothes. But you have to make the investment in yourself, and you don't try to look like somebody else. You really try to get some good feedback. I'll never forget one woman that I know of, a very attractive lady, very poised, dresses very well, and she went out and got some hairstyle. It looked like somebody had given her an electric shock. And I'll never forget getting a photo. She said, how do you like my new look? And I went, oh my goodness. Looked like she'd scare anybody that she'd walk into a room and meet. But the truth is, we all go through these trials that we have to do. But I think your book, 5 Strategies for Staying Employed in Today's Economy is down to earth. It's got good common sense in it, and it is a very good tool. And Nina, I know that you have your own website, Nina Price, but what is the website for 5 Strategies for Staying Employed? Is it exactly that, and is the number 5 spelled out?
It's FIVEstrategies.com.
5strategies.com. Well, I'll tell you what. If you are out there looking for work, if you need to have a little bit of inspiration, you're saying, I'm at a crossroad, I don't know what to do, this is a book you need to get to put in your library and use a pen or a pencil, whatever you want. Mark the book. Use the book. It is a good tool because regardless of your age, it is worth paying attention. You have value. If you don't believe you do, nobody else will. And these are strategies that can come in handy. Nina, thank you so much for being my guest today.
It's my pleasure, Donna. Thank you.
This is Donna Seabolt. We're taking a break. When we come back, well, we've got a bunch of goodies to share with you. Don't go anywhere. More good things to come. Donna Seabolt here. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Seabolt. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, for those of you, I want to mention that I am going to be, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, I am going to be appearing at the Emerald Spiral Spring Expo. Now, this is a name change for what used to be the Boeing Parapsychology Expo. As of this year, it is changing. This Saturday, or not this coming Saturday, but very shortly, Saturday, March 27th, from 9 until 5. This event is going to be taking place at the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. It's free to the public, plenty of parking, and there's going to be so much going on. Now, if you'd like to find out more about the event, go to emeraldspiral.com. That's emerald, like the stone, spiral.com. www.donnaclark.com, and you'll find out all kinds of information. I'm going to have a booth there. I'm going to be bringing in a big batch of books, lots of good things to share with you, and also I'll be doing many consultations while I'm there. I also want to mention, for those of you who are listening, if you have a story about the paranormal, it can be relating to animals, ghosts, out-of-body experiences, whatever, I'd love to hear from you. And I'm appreciating the emails that I'm receiving. I'm wanting to collect 100 stories from people so that I can put it into a book, and so that this book will empower people to understand how their mind skills, how their intuition can be used, but also how sometimes life has some real interesting happenings that can change your thinking, thereby changing your life. So I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email. Send your special story to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Now, if you've sent me emails and I've not responded to you, it's not because I don't care. Right now, we're putting in a whole new system, so our computers are down, but your email will be sitting in there waiting for me as soon as I can get to it. So just know that that's the case. Okay, how do you network your way to career success? We had a guest on just a short time ago talking about 5 strategies you can utilize to stay employed. Well, I came across some additional tips that I thought you might find useful. Now, if you want to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756 is the number to call into. If you are employed, I know we've got a caller right now. Let me just say this sentence before I go to our first caller. If you're employed, these additional suggestions may be of value to you. So I will be sharing them with you after we talk with this caller who is very patiently waiting on the line. Hello, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Tracy from Riverside.
Hi, Tracy. How's the weather in Riverside?
It's a little balmy.
A little balmy. Gee, that's tough when it's balmy, isn't it? California is always just so great with weather during this time of the year, I think, anyway, depending on where you are. Okay, Tracy, first thing I'm looking at is hard work. I think you're going to find yourself really having to pay attention to detail, maybe in a way that you had not anticipated. And you are going to find that there is a person that you are deciding you want to use as a mentor, and their feedback is really going to be fascinating to you. You're going to be able to interact with them and sort of toss out challenges, concepts, ideas, and they're going to pat them back to you, sort of like a ping pong match that I'm watching in my head, the discourse between the two of you. And I look at this and I want to say, this is good because it's teaching you how to think outside the box, but it's also introducing you to some concepts that perhaps you wouldn't have considered. But a lot of work. I don't see you having a whole bunch of leisure time, but that's not bad at all. I think you're going to be able to do what you need to do in a way and manner that is going to serve you very, very well. So, yes, the work is there. Yes, you are going to be incredibly busy. Social time will sort of be on the low side, but that's okay. You'll get through it. Before you know it, summer will be here and you'll have a chance to take a break. What would you like to ask me today?
Do you see money being okay?
Well, you're going to have to budget when you ask about money being okay. What are you really wanting to ask me? Because I'm seeing money around you, so it's not a matter of you're not having money. You're not going to live in your car, but I do think you are going to be on a budget this entire year. I think that this is something that you have to be attentive to, and you're going to be looking at more than one aspect of revenue generation, and that's okay. That's part of what you do.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome, Tracy. You have a wonderful day.
You too.
This is Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Okay, let's talk about switching career venues. Maybe you've been in, let's say, the food industry, and you decide that you no longer want to be associated with that industry, does that mean your skills are valueless? Of course not. But you may want to evaluate what industry you would want to go into. And maybe because of your association with food, maybe depending on what you did, maybe you decided you'd like to get into an area like nutrition or wellness. Well, they dovetail very nicely. But how are you going to do it? Nobody knows anything about you. You don't have a name in the industry. What's going to work? Well, I'm going to toss out a word that for many just absolutely is a cold turnoff, and that is networking. When you can interact with others, put yourself in environments that will allow you to have exposure to people in the area of industry that you're in, interested in, that is going to give you a thumbs up in more than one way. So to get in at a company, many times you can do it through temporary or volunteer work. I have a very good friend who had been self-employed for a number of years. She lived in a part of the country where the economy went into the toilet on a super flush level, and they were just devastated. Her husband, because he was more mature in years, really was having a tough time finding work. She was more versatile with her skills and her skill set, I should say. And so consequently, she had a conversation with me and I said, get a job with a temporary agency. Well, she didn't know what she was going to do. She said, oh my goodness, I've never done this before. I said, go on in. You're one of these people. You're so efficient. You've got this, and this. Just go on in. Worst thing they can say is they're not going to be bothered with you. The truth was, she ended up going into this company as a temp. They liked her so much that they went and they offered her a full-time job. She started out at what I'd call the grunt level. Within 6 months, they had given her 3 raises because her skill set was so good. And she was with them for a number of years. The company left the state that she was originally hired in. She relocated, and eventually she ended up being laid off after a number of years, but she had a wonderful severance package, and she evolved into a business of her own because of the skills that she had acquired through this opportune positioning that they even paid for her education during the years she worked for. So there were so many blessings that came out of it, you just don't know. And volunteering is another good way. Let's say you're good at getting people together, maybe become a part of a fundraiser. You never know where it's going to go. And if you focus on your career goals and just realize whatever you can put yourself into that helps you reach towards that objective, you are going to be recognized by the people around you. And soon, one way or another, you'll have an opportunity to be in the right spot at the right time. And they may many, many times want to hire people that they know rather than hire someone from the outside. In fact, do you know only 5% of hires are made from openly advertised jobs? So it's putting yourself in the environments you want to be associated with. Also, you need to have what's called an elevator speech. This always was something I thought, oh, gee whiz, this can't be real, but it is real. People are busy today. So what you want is a brief summary of your background and your goals that when somebody asks you what is that you really want to have in your life, you can give it to them in 30 seconds or less. So you don't want to alienate the people that are listening to what you have to say, but you want to make a positive impression with what it is that your objectives are. Also, if you're going to a networking event, do your research beforehand to see if it's really going to suit what it is that you're trying to be a part of. You don't want to go to a networking event that's dealing with software and things like this. If you're interested in cooking, it doesn't make sense. Look at those events and those environments that are going to support, again, what you really want, because you want to target your interest, your conversation, the topic, about the industry that you want to be a part of. And you know what? Make sure that you know how to present yourself so when you're talking with these people, they'll say, wow, this is someone I think I'd like to spend some more time with. So, again, those are just some additional tips. I think so often we get so scattered. And that's why I really believe in good vocational counseling. And I strongly encourage people to utilize the aptitude test, because it's very, very hard for us to look at ourselves and to recognize our strengths. Sometimes you can ask a bunch of people that you know, and they'll say a bunch of nice things, but they may not really give you insights that you want. So a good aptitude test, and you can get them for just very a small amount of money, just about any junior college or college that's in your area. Check it out. Find out what you really, really have an interest in, and see what industries or environments will support those interests. Focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses, and you've got a winning situation. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. Telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, a little bit of trivia here, a little flippant stuff. I always am interested in studies and various things that we can do. Well, you know that some people really, really have to get bored because they come up with some of the strangest studies. Did you know that there is now cinema therapy? Ah, yes. Can you imagine how much fun they have doing this? Oh, boy. Well, there is, at the University of Michigan, a research team that decided they were going to check on chemicals and hormones that were released when people were watching films, and so they made certain evaluations, and I thought you'd have a good time with this. Now, if you're a very anxious person, if you're under high stress, they say if you watch like a movie, Gone with the Wind, Casablanca, Shakespeare in Love, a romance movie, well, you'll feel tension-free. I guess it all depends on the movie. Anyway, they find that when people are very anxious and they watch romance movies, that there is an anti-anxiety hormone, progesterone, that is released. They found a 10% increase in both men and women when these romantic programs were being watched. And guess what? It can last up to 2 hours after you watch it. Wow. And if you like to really get a different perspective on life, then you watch the movies about the underdog, the achievers, like Rocky, Forrest Gump, and the Slumdog Millionaire. Now, why does this affect us in the way it does? Well, we root for the underdog, the guy or the gal that just never can seem to get their life together, but somehow or another they manage to do it and they become a winner. And they find that this feeling of uplift and joy that we experience after watching this kind of movie about the underdog being successful lasts for hours and hours and hours. Now, the researchers at the University of South Florida have found that when people are watching this kind of a movie, it just seems to give substance to our sense of justice and proves that hard work and determination can pay off for all of us. And then, if you want to really get this wonderful camaraderie with family, they say you need to watch family flicks. And I'll tell you one that I watched last night. It's really going to sound silly. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I haven't seen that in years, but I'll tell you what, it is a joy. The animation is first class. Disney was just, and his skilled artists were just awesome. But they find when people watch My Fair Lady, The Sound of Music, Around the World in 80 Days, families who watch movies, if they have their own movie night, they really are a lot happier than those that don't. They say any kind of ritual or tradition you do together as a family strengthens bonds and even improves children's self-esteem and sense of security. Now, David Niven, who is the author of 100 Simple Secrets of Happy Families, say that in his research, it just shows that it just really, really works. Now, if you feel like you're brain dead, or you feel like your brain is like peanut butter and jelly just squashing around, you just are rummy, you can't think, then what you want to do is watch a thriller. Well, you pick your favorite. Silence of the Lambs isn't one for me. But they say watching a thriller or a murder mystery or something like this improves short-term memory. When they had volunteers watching real, real tense movies, they scored higher on facial recognition tests than folks that were shown a comedy. So they say a little anxiety, this intensity of observation, really does improve the brain function. Nice excuse to watch Hercule Poirot or an Agatha Christie or whatever is your favorite. Now, I thought this was something. If you want to stir up passion with manly action, you watch The Godfather, The Gladiator, and Braveheart. That has to be for guys, obviously, because that'd be the last thing for me. I don't like that kind of gore. That doesn't do it. But rough and tumble pictures men really, really enjoy. And researchers showed that when the volunteers watched, like, The Godfather, men saw their levels of passion-boosting testosterone spike by 30%. So, gals, if you don't like the ugly stuff that's in it, get yourself a facial mask or something and just ignore it or plug your ears or whatever works for you. But the guys like it. They really do. And then taming stress, have a good tearjerker. Works for we gals. I don't know about the guys. But if you have a good cry with a movie like The Titanic or any movie that really touches your heart, the stress hormone prolactin washes out right along with the tears. It's a built-in healing mechanism. And you know what? If it builds up too much, if you don't have that kind of a release, then actually it affects your immune system. It's quite amazing how stress affects us. Do you know that women cry an average of 47 times a year while men cry only about 7 times? I'd like to know where they got those stats from. Wouldn't surprise me. I'm sure that it's true. But how did they do that? How did they find out about it? And then the best way to not get a cold is with laughter. Norman Cousins found that out when it came to cancer. And this is the final thing. They said comedies don't just make you feel good. They also prevent you from getting sick. When they studied people before and after a funny film, they found laughter reduces levels of illness-causing stress hormones while boosting the production of immune system cells. Wow. A little TLC and a good laugh, that'll make your world so much brighter, healthier, and just make you feel overall first rate. That is, I think, a very, very good thing. This is Donna Siebel. I know that we're just about out of time. Hey, tomorrow's going to be an open mic day. I've got all kinds of little tidbits that I'm going to be sharing with you. And don't forget, if you've got a special story that you'd like to share with me, send it along, because I'd like to hear about it. Send it to my email, donna@delphiinternational.com. Remember, I'm trying to acquire about 100. And we have got just such a great lineup of guests that are going to be coming up next week. Let me quickly let you know about it. We're going to be talking about peaceful transition. Dr. Terman is going to be with me on Monday. And this is valuable information because so often when we think we leave a will that, you know, living will, everything's going to be honored. Dr. Terman has a big eye-opening batch of information regarding that. Cell phones? Well, Carly Cooper is going to give us some insights about cell phones and their dark deception. Radiation, folks, this is important information. You need to know about it. That's going to be on Tuesday. And then on the 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day, a little of the green, we're going to be talking about Far From the Land, Thomas Rice. He's Irish. This is his story, and it is awesome. Absolutely beautiful. Then we're going to be talking with Sylvia, and this is a woman that has helped over 1,300 abused women with her facility. She's a wonderful gal. She's in her 80s, and what she has accomplished is just amazing. Sylvia's Haven is the name of her book, and then Arts in America, Jeffrey Compton. We're going to be traveling around the country exploring wonderful things that you can put on your travel calendar to see, depending on where you want to go in the U.S., wonderful, wonderful events and activities. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's a great life. Live it with zest and with gusto. And don't ever feel that you don't have a place and that you don't have something to give, because you do. Talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, and it'll be an open mic hour. This is Donna. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.